Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. This is the only show that provides you with real academic solutions. And so before we get into marketing, let me ask you, and I beg you will indulge me on this, that you ponder what I have been covering regarding your role regarding First Amendment right petitions, and using those petitions both in calling out politicians as well as using those petitions to demand that your local sheriff, your county commissioner, if they care about their job, if they don't, I mean, you should petition them anyway. If they fail to convene common law grand juries to hold these repugnant politicians who refuse to fulfill their oath of office, then you need to go after them as well. If they don't want to vote them out, get rid of them, because bottom line, the Constitution gives us the mechanisms, and it is our lower level government that has to exercise its oversight as well. There is checks and balances, and these two processes are the primary system. And I also want you to, you know, ponder, again, indulge me on this, ponder on your role as a militia member. Look at your community. Start having conversations and say, you know, we need to have a meeting because things aren't getting any better, and we're failing to plan, which means we're planning to fail. To be clear, there are too many things in motion to keep track of. This is why they try to keep you focused on the big stage, which is the election and the big problem. You know what? It doesn't matter. Each election is going to get more and more important, and we're all going to be telling you these exact same things. Oh, this is so much more important. We got to do this. We've got to get okay. What we have to do is we have to understand what we need to do if we're going to heal America. This is not a monarchy, so we can't expect a king to save us. This is a hybrid constitutional republic where the people do have a role in this government. We have representatives that have a role in this government. And so we need to start forcing ourselves and others to fulfill their duties and obligations within government. The one thing, let's just put it this way, the only thing we need to be focusing on isn't really what's going on in this train wreck. It is learning what compliance is and demanding compliance of ourselves and demanding compliance of those who are supposedly, quote unquote, serving us. Now, as I kind of move forward, I've been telling you we're going to get into marketing, so we are, and we are just weeks away from Constitution Day. Did the president really give an unconstitutional bureaucracy the power of the purse? Now, what I'm talking about is I am talking about the CDC. Does the CDC really have the constitutional power to actually keep homeowners, or I should say, the rental property owners from evicting those people who can't pay? Well, see, government has caused this problem. And as a matter of fact, the reason why we're in this mess, and this is why there needs to be a whole-scale class action lawsuit if you want to go after the monetary side of this. But what we need to do is fire all of these people for violating their oath of office and actually violating the Constitution. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment basically states that they have disqualified themselves because of these violations. We need people who understand the Constitution. And if you want to be able to have these types of powers, then there has to be some amendment to the Constitution or so forth. All of these people that are demanding change, This is all a part of the Bolshevik Revolution, demanding that we do these things without amending our Constitution. As Washington warned, yeah, if there is a problem, let the problem be resolved through the appropriate mode in the Constitution, and don't let it be with usurpation, because even though it may seem like a really good idea, the fact of the matter is that's how good governments are overthrown, is through usurpation. All right, so we're not going to get into a lot of obligatories. The one thing that I did it already this week, but I want to do this a little bit more. Thank you for getting involved by tuning in. This message can't go out unless you start hearing it and you start, I'll just use the word regurgitate. You basically, you know, send it to other people. We need listener drives. We need people to start understanding that there's actually a solution, and that solution is well ensconced in the Constitution. And with that, there is no sign in this upcoming news that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers, nor are the states, nor are some of these tyrants at the state level going to disband these unconstitutional powers that they have created. This is why we have to take it back. And the processes we have is both at the election, you know, the election process, the petition process, using and demanding common law grand juries and demanding compliance and actually getting organized. I'll tell you what, you want to send Washington, you want to send your capital at your state level a real message, start getting organized into militias and start getting constitutionally literate. Literacy will really scare them, because then they know they are losing the fight. They will lose this battle. That simple. So anyway, what do you have? What do you got going for Constitution Day plans? I would love to hear anybody's ideas and plans for Constitution Day. Now, a long time ago, I mentioned that I actually put a proposal with our company regarding riot control systems. And I want to get into it. I'm actually going to write an article regarding the right to protest, this unconstitutional paradigm that has completely grown, and how we really need to, one, stop it, and we need to start teaching people the constitutional process. If you're not happy with the way things are, you must petition government for the redress of grievances. That simple. So with that, let me get into real quick a concept of riot control systems. You don't need to have, you know, true lines when it comes to these protesters. All you need to do is basically just corral them. I'll use that term, because if you have a system that you can deploy very rapidly, and you can do this, I've seen this, because we actually, the military uses a lot of these different types of technologies, where they have portable fences that can literally cord off all of the people that are out in the street about ready to do bad. And so what you do, because bottom line, everybody has to start enforcing the laws. You have no right to be out in the street. And if you are, you will at a minimum be prosecuted for blocking commerce, you know, obstructing traffic, whatever the laws are. Because there are laws against these types of things. So what happens if you're not in City Hall basically delivering your petition? Then what you need to do is, you know, go out to your county, go to the other vestiges of government and petition, but you do not have a right to protest. And we need to start teaching folks that there's no constitutional right to do this. So when we do have these protesters, these unconstitutional civil, not only disobedience, but actually lawbreakers, when we get to that, then what we have to do is we have to have a system that we can deploy, corral, and arrest, and actually tag. So when all of a sudden things start getting really bad, but what you do is you've got to corral them. You have to actually corral them and bring the corral a much tighter so that you can process everybody. And then you literally process everybody, not to a FEMA camp, but you process them to be booked. You have a portable booking system where everybody gets tagged. And, oh, by the way, if you're committing a crime, I don't know if it's legal, but maybe it should be legal that you start actually IDing these folks a little bit tighter. And so that way, if you have somebody that is protesting that doesn't even live in that city or even that state, what you have is a professional protester. And that person needs to probably be dealt with in a different process. But you have these local stupid hooligans. You process them and you charge them. And if these protests get out of hand to where people are actually breaking windows, stealing, and so forth, then you deploy drones that will actually paint these guys with paintballs, or you can have a helicopter, but you paint these guys with paintballs. I say you use a drone. Don't put life in harm's way, but use a bunch of drones. And within these paintballs, you want to put little teeny RFID chips that actually, identifies, what that paintball was being shot at. Was it at a store? Was it, at property destruction, looting, or what have you? So that those things can be categorized, and you actually have a video camera on these drones as well. So you're actually recording them in the commission of their crime. You're tagging them so that when they come through these processing trailers, and you actually, these tags will go off, voila. Now, I'll finish this up and then we'll get into the marketing of the Need to Know News as soon as we get back. So God bless, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Yeah, so let me be really clear. These protesters, what they are doing is, it's an insurgency. They are actually calling for and demanding changes to our system. They're looking to get away from our constitutional republican rule of law and implement governments that are unconstitutional. This is truly an insurgency. We can go through this time and time again, and we can prove this time and time again. So what we also have to do is we have to change our paradigm regarding protesters. It is not an American right. It is a tool of anarchy, or actually it's a tool. Anarchy is a tool of communism. They always deploy these types of things, and in every Bolshevik revolution, they've been successful. We have to recognize that, one, you don't have a right to do this, and two, that you keep doing this. States have these laws that are basically three strike laws. You commit three felonies, you go away for a much longer time. The same thing must be regarding protests. You are involved in a protest, you are involved in civil disobedience and breaking the law, then you, after, you know, the third time, then you really go away for a long period of time, mandatory, before, and as a matter of fact, it's not before you go through your initial trial or your initial hearing to determine whether there's an indictment or not, but your process. So you got to understand, when somebody constantly does something, do they have a right to a speedy trial if they keep on doing this and then we let them out the next day? I believe that they have to go through the full process of trial, and they have to post, you know, the real. But see, this is why Soros is getting these laws changed, or actually not enforced, so that we can keep on using the same useful idiots. It came to me the other day as I was driving along that if you communicated to Trump that he arrest every single one of these politicians that has violated their oath of office by removing our constitutional rights and powers, that would be thousands of people. And what he could do, because bottom line, he can tie this all to a part of this insurgency and throw them into a federal jail. And as a matter of fact, it would be great if he did this prior to the election, and then have the federal government come right down and the DOJ state, these people are ineligible for office, because especially the incumbents, Inslee, Kate Brown, any of these idiots that are governors and or state legislators and so forth who are refusing to do their job in supporting the Constitution, they should be removed and they should be called out for supporting rebellion against the Constitution. It's that simple. But getting back to these protests and this process, it's just a matter of just courting these kids off, courting these folks off, and boom. And I will tell you, if you have a couple of these systems so that when you have a protest and you deploy this and then a protest to the protest or the arresting of the protest, you just have a few of these systems that can quickly respond to courting those kids off, courting those idiots off, and then processing them. Because once you've got them contained, then it's a lot harder for them to actually, you know, because they actually have to put themselves in harm's way to get over those fences and over those types of barriers. You know, you just put enough of the juice in them, whatever you need to do to without really killing them. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, I believe that what we should be doing isn't necessarily just using gas to push them back. I believe that it's probably better to use, you know, gas that makes them fall asleep, because then they're not going anywhere. They're not causing any harm and they're not going to hurt anybody. That way you can then process their limp bodies. And, you know, the next thing they'll do is they'll wake up, hopefully without a headache, and hopefully, you know, they'll understand where they're charged and what their costs will be to get a lawyer and all of that type of thing. Bottom line, friends, we can easily do this, and we can easily hold people accountable for the laws that they violate. This is not about blacks not being served in restaurants and blacks not having, you know, an opportunity. It's, you know, Larry Elder's put this, you know, very succinctly. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, a state that's ran by liberals and a city that's ran by liberals, and as a matter of fact, I think there's plenty of blacks in government there, it is not like George Floyd is not going to get his justice Or are we saying that just because we have those people in government that will ensure that that happens, we don't trust them? He points out that, you know, we haven't even, there hasn't been the trial. We haven't even gone through the process. And they're instantly demanding justice. Well, let the system work. We have to force the system to be used and worked. And these people, I will tell you that, you know, I can understand people being upset after a trial that just seemed like a hung jury, or it seemed like it was just a facade. I can get that. And then you petition government to say, this is unfair. This was not done where our justice system was truly, justice was truly served through our justice system. Anyway, I do have a lot that I want to kind of go through that G. Edward Griffin has kind of pointed out. And some of these things are really important. And this is just a sampler. This is just a sampler because this is happening in other states. But G. Edward Griffin points out, and this is the need to know news. You really need to get on his emails if you just want to be up to date with the marketing. And every time you read, every time you watch the news, ask yourself this one story or ask this one question. What does it take? What will it take to get you to get involved? What is it going to take for you to finally stand up and say, I have to be involved in the solution? The Virginia State Health Commissioner, Dr. Norma Oliver, who has the authority to mandate immediate vaccinations during a public health crisis under state law. By the way, if you want to get involved in the problem and with the solution, you have to challenge unconstitutional laws like this. Anyway, Norman Oliver basically came out and said that he plans to require coronavirus immunizations, coronavirus immunizations for Virginia residents when it is available. And he claims there is no current treatment for COVID-19, such as, you know, what is it? I'm going to get it wrong. CHQ or CQH or S or whatever. I'm not going to be good with, because I'm bad with words and names like that, but this oxycortisone or whatever that has actually been proven. Anyway, I forget this. There's a three-letter word or acronym. Anyway, back to this, Dr. Oliver. Only people with a medical exemption may refuse the mandate, but the Virginia General Assembly is considering a bill to allow a religious exemption to opt out of the forced vaccine. Dr. Oliver strongly opposes this bill. Now, I'm going to tell you that if you go to your state and you look at your state, they're going to start forcing you as well, because that's all a part of the agenda. You're going to have to surrender your liberties so that they can control you better. You need to start understanding that they have been using and they have the ability to use vaccinations to change through, they can actually inject gene editing. They have all sorts of things that they can inject into you. And there's more and more people that are realizing that not only just the health dangers of some of the crap that they put in it, but the nefarious things that they do with these vaccinations. I think America is starting to wake up, because only 42% of all Americans said they would get vaccinated if and when a coronavirus vaccine becomes available. It's not like in the old days, back in the 70s, where they were scrambling. And a lot of Americans, a higher percentage of Americans, felt that they needed to get, the swine flu under Ford. Bottom line, there were a lot of people that got sick and injured and killed because of the lack of safety within the vaccination process and testing and so forth. Anywho, especially when they're in a rush to get that out to you so that they, you know, could supposedly say, okay, we're addressing this problem, but they haven't gone through the real process. Anyway, G. Edward Griffin also reports, and this is kind of interesting because we've covered this a few times since this has all started. David Beasley, the executive director of the UN World Food Program, the WFP, said that a number of people experiencing malnutrition will grow by 80% by the end of the year due to disruption in food growth and logistics worldwide caused by COVID-19. Now, I told you that our food program and our food processing and everything else, if it's being affected, it's not the COVID that is going to have an effect on this. It is how government is reacting and how they're doing everything they can to restrict this. They are trying to create a famine. Anyway, Mr. Beasley stated, quote, obviously social tensions will grow, migration will increase, conflicts will escalate, and hunger will likely affect those who didn't experience it before, close quote. He said that the WFP feeds 138 million people. Well, we're at a hard break. 138 million people, that's basically half of America. Now, are they taking credit for after-school programs and feeding people? Is the UN WFP only outside America? Because America's already feeding itself practically in most of the school after-school programs and those types of things already. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so let me get back to what Mr. Beasley is saying here. He says that the WFP feeds 138 million people. And here's the kicker. That the UN organization needs $4.9 billion over the next 6 months to keep its humanitarian programs running. Notice they're saying dollars and not wands or not pesos or not, you know, another type of currency. But $4.9 billion, that's a lot of money, friends. That's a lot of money that they're claiming that they're going to need just for the next 6 months. This is why government is the problem, not the people. Anyway, J. Edward Griffin continues and says, the World Health Organization announced that the COVID-19 pandemic may be around for more than 2 years. Trinity Metro in Fort Worth, Texas, has installed ROSA, a robot that can detect when people are not wearing face masks. The CEO of the company said that his mind was blown by how many more people are complying with wearing masks when a machine tells them to do it. You know, when somebody tells me to do it, as an aside, I ask them, where's your badge and where's your gun? There you go. If somebody asks you, just ask them, well, where's your badge and gun? Are you a police person? Are you enforcing? And then let them go off on a tirade and go, you do realize that there's no constitutional standing with this. As I've told you, I don't have time to fight those battles, but I at least poke somebody back in the eye when I know that they're not a law enforcement or somebody that will, you know, actually be able to get law enforcement time enough to respond to come and cite me for a mask violation or what have you when I'm walking through a parking lot. Anyway. All right. He also said that sales are increasing as businesses are bracing for the possibility they'll have to enforce COVID-19 safety measures for years to come. Now, let me get back to this food thing. Remember what I said months ago, that food shortages will not be driven by the farmers or American farmers specifically. The dumping of milk and the burying of the harvest of onions. Remember they're saying that all these things... I pointed out that that wasn't even harvest time. Harvest time is coming up. Look, especially at the crops. I mean, milk is a daily harvest, and same thing with beef and you know, fresh meats, fishing, that type of stuff. But we've already been able to kind of get back to our normal prices because, at least from American standards, we're almost back. And so burying our harvest, because it's all automated, you know, we're not keeping people, but they're trying to pass laws to keep farmers from being able to farm, especially the small farms that are competing with them. This is where the global agenda is going to get rid of the last of the family farms and the small farms that are competing with corporate farming. Remember I told you, monopolies aren't maniacal unless they are in league with government. If you've got a monopoly and you're doing your customers and the market space the best service because you are literally keeping the prices down at the lowest level so nobody can compete with you, how is that a bad thing? How is that a bad thing? Oh, well, they can bring up the prices. Well, when they do, and the barrier that takes the barrier for others to enter. And then all of a sudden, you can now have competition. But when government protects monopolies, make it impossible for you to even compete, then you know. And that's what corporate farming is doing. And that's why America is buying a lot of food via corporate farming from South America and so forth. And we have been strangling ourselves more and more because of environmental reasons and so forth. So again, the reduction of food will have more to do with government manipulation and enforcing the mercantile system that the globalists are putting into place. And America is, because of the deep state, we're in lockstep with this globalist agenda and globalist plan. It is that clear and that nefarious. Anyway. In Tennessee, Sharon Hurt, a Nashville city council member, proposed that if someone passes the coronavirus to another person, and this is also reported by G. Edward Griffin, Need to Know News, if the coronavirus passes passes from one person to another and kills them, then the person who passed the virus should be tried for murder or attempted murder. Well, why don't we do that with the flu? Why don't we do that with all of these types of diseases that could kill people? Now, and I'm not talking about the idea of, old people, because obviously, you know, old people do get out, but they have to be far more careful. They need to be either masked, wear oxygen masks, where, you know, they lower their susceptibility when they're in public. If you have an immune system problem, you need to self-guard yourself. There is merit to this concept. I'm just showing you that a lot of people look at this as bad, but, you know, when you do something, you go to work, and as an employer and as a manager, I get very upset when I have an employee show up and they're sick and they're infecting my work base, whether it's a cold or whether it's a flu. It still affects my productivity, them coming to work, and then next thing you know, and we've had this before, and I've said this before, you cannot afford to allow your workforce. So you have to basically say, go home, use a day or just take no pay. I don't care, but go home. We give you sick days. Use them. Anyway, however, the city council cannot create criminal legislation. Only the state legislatures can, and it would be impossible to prove who transmitted a virus. Well, I'm telling you right now, you know when the first person that comes to work sick with the flu or whatever, that's pretty obvious. If it can be easily proven, you know, I don't think you should be dismissing these types of things. Now, whether that's actually murder, so was it manslaughter? Was it intentional? Was it cognitive? Those things, you know, you really have to, you know, basically explore. But I honestly believe that there needs to be at least some type of economic, you know, look at this, because I think businesses should be able to go after employees that have affected their ability to be productive and operating during a flu outbreak or what have you. People need to understand that if you are sick, you stay home. It's the same thing with going to church. If you go to church and you know the person was sitting right behind you, they were coughing and sneezed on you and so forth, I'm telling you, the chances are if you're sick in the next day or two, you should be pretty sure of who gave it to you, especially if everybody else that you've been in contact with. And so I don't think that this, you know, we should be shrugging or what do you want to say? You know, basically dismissing. Yeah, there's a better word for it. We shouldn't be so dismissive of these types of thoughts. We do need to understand that a person that can cause harm should be really a crime. I mean, if whether it be an accident because I wasn't paying attention and I went through the light and I hit somebody, well, then there are laws against that. Well, if you know you're sick, you know you can infect somebody else. So why is it that we allow these things to continue and to perpetuate a disease in our society? This herd mentality thing, it's not that I dislike it, but I do recognize that when in the age of biological warfare, where a nation like China can do what they're doing, we have to start taking better measures. It'd be nice to be able to, you know, have open borders and a herd mentality because we don't have enemies and everything else. That won't happen until the entire world becomes a part of the United States. That's, you know, I've said that before. The United States Constitution is the best governing document, and it should be. It is, I believe, God's plan of globalism, and we should be using the Constitution, and this is why we need to disband. You know how much money we would save getting rid of these World Health Organizations and everything else, and just say, you know, if you want to take care of yourself, that's fine, but we're no longer subsidizing socialism around the world. We're done. We're out. Anyway, let's move on. In Wisconsin, the Department of Natural Resources Secretary Preston Cole advised employees to wear a mask to participate in a virtual meeting on a video conference call where they could be seen by others. In Maine, Democrat Governor Janet Mills issued a guideline option for restaurant servers to wear an inverted face shield similar to a plastic cone of shame for dogs that is fitted at the neck and is open at the top instead of a mask. Really? Do you understand what they're talking about? How ludicrous this is? This is how bad it's getting. G. Edward Griffin also, these are all G. Edward Griffin need to know news. These are things that you're not hearing about. This amazing documentary that actually G. Edward Griffin wrote and produced himself has been forgotten. And as a matter of fact, what I need to do is I need to get this up if you want to look at it. It's a little over an hour long, although it was produced in 65 at the height of the civil rights movement. It is far from being out of date. Well, I'm going to get back to this, and so when we come back after the break, we will go into these details. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic, as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
All right, so let me kind of start this over again. G. Edward Griffin produced a video, a movie. It's actually what it was. It was a documentary. And like I said, it's a little over an hour long. And this was produced in 1965 when he was a young man and had become enlightened to communism in America. We interviewed him a few years back, and he recognized that as he was growing up, because he was born, what, late 20s, early 30s, I forget. He was basically the same age as my parents. And the fact that he recognized that he was being taught in the education system, quote unquote, collectivism and the principles of communism, that the government is here to support you, that they were expanding the concept of government involvement in every aspect of your life. I recognized, it didn't take me too long after I joined the Marine Corps and became constitutionally literate, it didn't take me too long at all to realize that I was being taught, or I was taught, communism. As a matter of fact, I embrace communism, not even knowing. The funny thing is that it is inherent, and I'm going on an aside here, but it is inherent for young kids to want to rebel. The problem is that the kids are being taught to rebel against their parents instead of rebelling against the harmful, failed ideas. So, you know, what the education system is doing is they're actually utilizing that rebellious mode in children and focusing it on the things that are good, that make positive impacts with society, so that they can do the harmful impacts to society, get kids to believe that communism and statism is, you know, is going to replace the family. They don't need no stinking family. The family's trying to ruin their good time. And so what kids should be taught in the home today is going into the world, you are going to be taught, you know, how the family is bad. But when they're done teaching you, the only thing you have left is the family. So in other words, once you're done with school, you know, you have your little world of your career and what have you, but your main support structure will always be the family. So why is it that they're teaching you kids that the family is the evil thing in our society when it is actually the bedrock. And it takes kids 10, 20 years. Sometimes they never even realize their paradigm is not only, you know, wrong, but it is destructive. Anyway, you need to watch this, because even though this was produced in 1965, as I was saying before the break, this was produced at the height of supposedly the civil rights movement. I'm going to tell you, the civil rights movement was right there in the 14th Amendment. What ended up happening was the court system and the progressives quickly infiltrated the rest of the Republicans. And this is why the Republicans of that era, of that time, were considered radical Republicans, because they bent over backwards to protect the freedmen and to ensure that all U.S. citizens were given equal rights and had equal protections and of their privileges and immunities protected by the Constitution. And they applied those privileges and immunities to the states within the 14th Amendment. And everybody looks at them as the bad guys, and this is why people are ignoring the 14th Amendment and not understanding how these men at that point in time that created the 14th Amendment, how they also were inspired by the divine hand of providence. Not many of them even stated anything. I think that they just recognized that the exigencies of the day were at hand and they needed to do something, because they knew that there would be a lot of oppression and there would be a lot of laws that would be passed that would be unconstitutional if they got this amendment through. And they were. The Jim Crow laws were unconstitutional. We've proven this. And where did they come from? They came from the Democratic Party, who has been divisive from the very beginning. I don't believe Andrew Jackson and Van Buren went out and they set out to actually create a divisive party, but they became a faction that was ripe for that very specific thing, which is why the KKK, as John Quincy Adams started increasing his rhetoric and increasing the abolitionist movement within government, because you got to remember, here we had a president. You know, people talk about term limits. Here we had a president that, after he was bumped out of office, went back and served in the Senate the rest of his life fighting against slavery. So you can't tell me that the term limits is a good thing. What we need is we need compliance. That's why I go back to what I started the show off with. We need to start focusing on compliance, not, you know, oh, well, they're feeding these people better than the, they don't have any business feeding people. That's your job. You need to be feeding yourself and your family. If you need help, we need to restructure society so you get the right help and instead of the handout. We have completely lost our moral compass. Whatever happened to, you know, teach a man to fish, you fed him for life. Give a man a fish, you've made him dependent on you. And that's exactly the nefarious paradigm that is in our country. Anyway, back to this documentary I really highly recommend you watch. This is not about blacks versus whites. Now, I will also tell you, I've got to caveat this. G. Edward Griffin doesn't really understand the Constitution that well. And this is why when I talk to him, this is why he kind of wants to rewrite the Constitution, because he thinks it's inadequate. And every time I talk to him, I go, you don't realize that, you know, the integral part of America wasn't to create all of these laws and it was to create these protections from government and allow society and the primary, you know, organization within society of the time, which we need to get back to, is the church. People were good because they were actually going to church because they had faith. When Alexis de Tocqueville said America's great because people were good, and he actually said this. He said, you can't find the truth in the halls of government. He said, where you find the truth is in the churches. And he was noticing a stark difference between what he saw in Europe and how they had already become godless by the 1830s. You know, 40 years after the French Revolution, he comes to America and they became a godless nation, and how America, even though we didn't have a national church, We had state churches, and people were still thriving, and society was still thriving. So not that G. Edward Griffin was wrong. It's just that he was also equally taught the wrong things regarding the Constitution. So when you watch this, he may talk about, you know, communism and capitalism and so forth, but even Ayn Rand was illiterate regarding the Constitution, and her movie Atlas Shrugged is based on a government of democracy. Well, yeah, if we have a democracy for a form of government, then those things will happen, but we don't. We have a hybrid constitutional republic, and I have to reinforce this all the time. When I'm talking to people, people don't realize that we have both a confederation and a federation. That federation is, you know, empowered to do very specific things of national security and so forth. They have more power than a typical confederation, but the confederation is more powerful in America than the federation. And people aren't taught this. And so that's why we're having these problems. So again, the focus with this documentary is not merely on the radical, or I should say, the racial issues and the radical divisiveness that we're seeing today, but it does cover on the differences, the differences between groups of citizens who can be used and manipulated into acts of self-destruction. The program shows agitation in American in the name of civil rights, and it compares the similar movements that have led the overthrow of many governments around the world. So it's probably time that we actually start watching this and we start actually having real honest conversations about the disinformation agenda and the propaganda. It's not a plan. It's not a strategy. It is an operation. We are actually in, they are operating this overthrow via paradigm and these concepts of tolerance. Folks, if you think that they're going to be tolerant once they have full control, you've got another thing coming. You need to look at history, and you will recognize and acknowledge historically that when these folks take over, it's over. You will bow. Your knees will bend to their will, or they will get rid of you. Remember, the ends justify the means. This is why you really don't have a choice. You either surrender and become a part of them, or you take a stand. Because if you don't take a stand, you've basically surrendered. And it comes down to that. G. Edward Griffin also has this pretty interesting article. And these are kind of older articles, by the way. I'm not even touching the new stuff, but I'm touching the stuff that you probably haven't heard. Days after Ireland was placed partially back on lockdown, government officials and other elites broke their own rules and gathered for a golfing holiday. The Yellow Vests in Dublin organized a rally to protest against the lockdown. Well, obviously, I didn't get a chance to finish this because I started railing a little bit. My apologies. In our next episode, we will be covering more marketing. So please stay tuned. We'll be back. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and have a great, great evening.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.